Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guys. People's Radio. It's all that G up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Man Pooh. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will, the ill executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric.
RNG fam is like, woo.
Nah, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You guys act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Anybody can be peace.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, the Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG, Renegade Radio, on your dial, Tuesday nights, we in the house. The Renegades are brought to you by Frederick's Accountant, XL Academics, On the Rocks in Rockford, and of course, Resistance Digital Solutions. Before we get into everything tonight, I'd like to say, as always, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. And we appreciate your patronage. Before we get into the proceedings this evening, allow me to introduce the other two-thirds of the illustrious three-man booth. To my right, I got my man, D. Wills. Holla at the people.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling real good. We had a great game yesterday. You know, I'm trying to battle back a little bit, you know, kind of like Jordan right now. But, you know, it's been a great March Madness, and looking forward to NBA playoffs. It just, you know, this is just one of the best times of the year for sports. So I know we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Absolutely. You know, the tournament was one of the best in recent memory, in my opinion, as far as the amount of close games, the amount of highly contested games. I just had a blast watching the tournament. A lot of great games, a lot of good basketball. Very, very enjoyable. Very, very enjoyable. So let me round out the booth real quick, and then we can jump into all that we have in store for the Renegade fans out there. We have a special guest sitting in for our man, PhD. We got LR, Resistance Digital CEO, Larry Randall's in the house. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good, man. You know, the one thing about yesterday was I thought my wife was crazy thinking that a dog could beat a wildcat, but damn, I was wrong.
Hey, don't you hate it when they're right?
Man, it'd be killing me, dog.
I bet. So this portion of the show is known as the world famous intro to let them know. This is where we give you a quick rundown of everything that we have in store for you for tonight's edition of The Real Sports Guys. So for tonight, we have a special guest coming on. We're going to spotlight one of our sponsors. We have XL, Lewis XL coming on from XL Academics. He's going to join us tonight. We also will have the On the Rocks funky editorial tonight, where we're going to talk about the tournament. Cal, UConn, Kevin Ollie, just break down the tournament. We're going to have our one shining moment as we kind of put a bow on the NCAA tournament season. We're going to get into the tourney challenge and give you the results of the challenge and how things went, who won, who took home the cash, who took home the prizes, who was the victor. And then we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Things are shaping up. We're heading into the stretch run. Season ends about a week from now. So we're going to dig into that. And, you know, we're going to hit you off with the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. And we're going to keep it moving like we always do about this time. So with no further ado, I'm going to have my man D. Wills jump on. Just so you know, all guests and hosts come via the Frederick's Accounting Gateway. Frederick Accounting, a national accounting service where clients never feel April 15th. Contact Steve Morehouse, folks at Frederick's Accounting, to address your business or personal accounting needs. Frederick's Accounting, the official accountant of RSG, tell them the Real Sports Guy sent you. D. Wills, I want you to bring in, because you've been working hard on this. You've been working hard on bringing in sponsors. He's been behind the scenes. Like I said, he's like Suge Knight without the anger management. All right, so he's been doing all this work behind the scene, building up the label, you know, building up the brand. So he wants to, you know, he's bringing in our sponsors one by one, giving them the red carpet treatment. So this is just another edition of that red carpet introduction that RSG provides those that sponsor us. So I'm going to give it to my man D. Will, and he's going to take you through.
Well, thank you, Game Changer. You know, we've really tried to work hard to find the right people to be part of this brand. It's why we call it the movement. And folks that, you know, have a commitment to some of the things that we value as a show. You know, we're more than a sports show. A lot of times we're talking about societal issues. A lot of times we get into sports and education, sports and opportunity. And so it was very important for me to find a sponsor that, particularly from the education side, given the backgrounds of myself, Game Changer, PhD, in terms of our interest, someone that valued education. And so it's been great to have XL Academics be a part of it. They are a sponsor for XL Academics, Last Word. And tonight we have the CEO for XL Academics on with us, XL Lewis. How you doing, XL?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Man, it's been good, and I mean, people are already going to see the impact of our partnership as we start to think about our. When you see the website in about a week or so with the logo, it's going to be off the hook. But I definitely want to give your colleagues credit for the work they've done. The guys have been going crazy. They've been texting back; they love it, and the kind of work our sponsors. You know, LR is one of those too that I really try to figure out how to help us push our brand out. But I want people to really know a little bit about your company. Can you tell them a little bit about XL Academics and what you're trying to do with the company and how you're trying to have an impact?
Sure. You know, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be on your show. I'm truly inspired by what you do, and I'm motivated by passion. And I know that everyone that's involved on Real Sports Guys is passionate not only about sports but about life and about societal issues. And that really gets to the core of what we do with XL Academics. So I think the mission is in line with overall what Real Sports Guys achieves on a daily basis. We're a technology company at the core, and we build supplemental services to assist in lifelong learning experience to diverse learners and promote job creation and sustain economic growth. But what that means is we build platforms for schools, community organizations, nonprofit organizations around mentorship, peer-to-peer mentoring, alumni mentoring, where students can connect to professionals in their field.
And I've been very excited about the work that you've been doing in mentoring. And, you know, one of the things that you always say that with our changing dynamics in America and the fact that our neighborhoods have changed and, you know, young people don't always have access to mentors. You know, back in the day you might live, even in segregated communities, people might live in next to a doctor or a lawyer, business person. But today it's hard to have access to that. And I think your platform allows to kind of close that gap with folks. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I first formed the company back in 2006, I formed it off of this eternal question that I asked myself, and that's how individuals connect. You know, how can we bring social media, how can we bring technology into a world of networking that's happened for years? You hit the nail on the head when you said what I typically say in terms of oftentimes individuals aren't privy to or may or may not be privy to living next door to or having a CEO in their community that's a local area CEO, or having a middle manager in their community that's in marketing or a PhD individual. But the technology brings not only introverted learners to the forefront to connect with individuals that share a similar career interest that have proven successful, but also tap into extroverted learners that want to connect in a different way, in a social networking site that's custom to the specific community, organization, or to the school. So it's really about networking, and it's really about connecting with people. We just chose to do it through technology.
Well, you know, I definitely appreciate what you're doing, and looking to build this partnership. You always got some stuff. You know me for a long time. I'm in a lab. I got some stuff that we might roll out that will really we look to have this platform really leverage some of the work that we're doing. So we're looking very excited about that. It's great to have you on this night tonight. I know you're busy trying to thing and make things happen. We definitely appreciate it. And thank you for being with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I encourage anyone that's listening tonight to engage in a sponsorship to further fuel the initiative that you've already started. So I appreciate being with you tonight, and I look forward to listening in.
And before I let you go, how can people find you? Your website and everything else, what's the best way to connect with you if they're interested in learning more?
Absolutely. It's www.xlacademics.com, or you can call area code 815-708-6089. We're located in Rockford, Illinois, by way of East State Street. So come and check us out. Check out the website or give us a call.
Well, thank you very much, man, and I appreciate it. And thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Take care. That's XL Lewis, CEO of XL Academics, our sponsor for XL Academics' Last Word. XL Academics, changing the world one mentor at a time. The team is getting big, game-changing. We pushing it up. We pushing it to the next level. You know, the kind of concept that started, the lobby of an airport and making it happen with this, I'm excited, man. And so it's good to have this kind of sponsorship.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're definitely glad to have them on. Definitely glad to have them on board. The movement keeps growing. It keeps on pushing, and we're going to keep pushing forward through this show. Again, we have a slamming show in store for you tonight, and we're going to hit you off, get you off started right with the On the Rocks Funky Editorial.
Fellas, one thing we need to say. Shall we say it, y'all? Melvin,
right.
Jimmy,
right.
Coleman, Ryan.
Yeah.
Everybody wanna get funky one more time.
All right, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions, On the Rocks in Rockford, Illinois, XL Academics, and Frederick's Accounting. Right now, you're in the midst of the On the Rocks Funky Editorial. In this edition of the On the Rocks Funky Editorial, we are going to discuss our One Shining Moments. We're going to break down the NCAA tournament, the men's tournament, now that it has finished. We have a few questions to bounce around between the real sports guys. And we're going to get in, we're going to dig in, and we're going to have some fun with this. So, fellas, the first thing I want to talk about is University of Kentucky, Calipari. What do we make of what he's done there? You know, getting a team of that comprise that, you know, his rotation consisted of seven freshmen and two sophomores. A very, very green, young team was balling for Big Blue Nation. Kentucky under Calipari has done this time and time again. Just how do we define what he's done? I want to start with Larry. Where does Cal sit in your mind?
Well, it's pretty amazing when you can take a bunch of freshmen and maybe one or two sophomores and be a perennial powerhouse every year. Now, I know you can say that with a grain of salt because you're getting all these McDonald All-Americans, but in college basketball, there's something to be said about experience and having it and not having it. There's a reason why all of these mid-majors tend to do well in these tournaments. When you can take a bunch of kids and beat the old, quote-unquote, old men at their own game, it's pretty amazing. They started off this season being preseason number one. They kind of fell off the map for a minute, and then the next thing you know, they're in the final, you know, coming out of nowhere. So if that's not coaching, I don't really know what it is. So all of the naysayers that, you know, don't like what Calipari does as a coach, you can't dispute his success in getting these kids to buy into whatever he's selling them. Now, I don't know exactly what he's selling them, but when they come to play like they play in this tournament, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, I get Kyle's props. It's hard to get a bunch of freshman kids that know that they're uber-talented to buy into a system, and they did it. So I say more power to them, you know. Just shake the haters off and keep on doing what you do, man.
Yeah, and Cal gets a lot of hate from the traditional, the college basketball purist. You should win championships with juniors and seniors. That crowd hates Cal. If yep. you're in that camp out there and you're listening, you hate Calipari. We know you do, all right? You're that guy who is shaking his cane at the TV and freshmen need to sit out a season, the red shirt, this, that, and the other. Fall back, all right? You got to give Cal his respect. I don't care how you feel about him. You have to respect, as you laid out, LR, you got to respect the fact that year in and year out, he's taking a formula. He's working a system. He's not doing anything outside of the rules. I know if PhD was here right now, he would say, just wait.
yep.
He would say, just wait. In 4 years, they'll be taking down the banners. They'll be vacating wins, yada, yada, yada. But you got to respect it, man. You got to respect it. And this season and no other season proves that it's not just about getting a bunch of McDonald's All-Americans together. Because these are the same guys that were at midseason out of the top 25. These are the same guys who at midseason were struggling in the SEC, which isn't a basketball conference. You know, this is the same group of guys who people have forgotten about and left for dead before the SEC tournament. This is the same group of guys that earned an 8 seed. You know what I'm saying? So there is, it's more than just getting the talent there. He has made it so that he has a talent, and now all he has to do is figure out how to make it work, how to get everybody to play together. And there are times where he can do that, and there are times where he can't. Now, you know, people will point to last year's team that didn't make the tournament, but, you know, people got to forget they had the number one prospect. He tore his ACL halfway through the season, you know, in Nerlens Noel. You know, you lose a guy that good, I don't care who you are, your team's going to take a step back, and they weren't able to recover as a program. And that's where his motto gets a little flawed, is because if guys get hurt, well, it's a wreck. But you got to give him his props. You got to give him his props. Now, D. Williams, you got an interesting take on Calipari. I want you to lay it on the folks out there.
Well, you know, I've been saying through the tournament, I've said that people, you know, the snap on him was like, well, he's not a good X and O person. And I think LR, you know, really nailed on that. Like, you cannot see what this team went through in midseason and the way they performed down the stretch. He made some adjustments. And so he has gotten better in terms of his X and O's. But it's the bottom line, that's the system. You know, he's not doing anything outside the system. And I know PhD is going to say, well, there's going to be some type of violation once he leaves and all that. But the bottom line is, we're allowing kids to do one and done. He gets trust of the kids, of the families. He gets trust of Drake. He gets trust of Jay-Z. Cal has this magnet kind of personality that somehow pulls, but he checks on those kids. I mean, even the championship run they have with D. Rose a couple times, he checked a couple people in there. So it's not like they don't let him coach them. And that's the amazing thing, that, you know, kids can have a lot of egos, and we talk about that, but somehow these kids let him coach them. And the one thing he's able to do, which is amazing, when you think about the fact that these kids were in high school a year ago, the commitment he gets them to have on defense, right? Because defense is an effort thing, right? I'm going to have to get you some continuity on offense, but defense with the kind of athlete you are is just a will thing. And somehow he gets them to share the ball, to play defense. If the system stays the way it is, he's doing what he's doing. And the ups and downs are, like you said, if he has an injury, you know, Dean Smith once said, you know, late in his career, he looked on the court and realized that his career and his life been in 18, 20-year-olds. And he got scared. Cal looking out there and looking at kids who still got the Similac on their mouth. They were in middle school prom like 5 years ago. You know, couldn't drive a few years ago. And his future at a place like Kentucky is depending on them making good decisions. So he's amazing, man. And where he ran up against a person like Kevin Ollie was a group where you had, you know, it's a guard game. And so where his guards were able to dominate and really didn't have to play defense a lot in a lot of these games, and one thing that there were no people challenging them other than maybe the Michigan game in the backcourt. Where they got hurt last night is their guards. They pushed them out. And they were challenging. That's where he'll struggle. When you run up against a team, you got some veterans who are like, you're just not going to take my spot. That's where he's going to run into problems in these tournament games, where you got kids like Napier and Boatwright who are like, you know, they got that park game, you know. They're like, you know, this is like pickup. We hold court, and that's how they play. And you youngins ain't going to come in here and just hold court. We're going to hold court. And that's where he might get in trouble, but you don't run into too many of those teams. You know, he plays – you don't run into – those teams don't come around very often. And so it allows for him to continue to do this. So, hey, as long as it's working, you know, the president at Kentucky let them do it. The faculty at Kentucky let them do it. The people at Kentucky let them do it. You know, people get mad at these coaches, but it's the college presidents, it's those folks who can decide which direction you're going to go or not. It's the faculty who are sitting out here. So, you know, for people that are trying to get on Calipari, you know, somebody is saying it's okay at the institution outside Calipari. And
right.
So, you know, and they don't have a problem with it, so.
Yeah, so you got Cal who's done what he's done at Kentucky. And, you know, people are bringing up the possibility. A lot of people was asking him about whether or not he was interested in the L.A. job with the Lakers. And, you know, Cal didn't say no per se directly. He didn't use the word no at all. So what do you think, D. Wills, about Cal as an NBA coach?
Well, you know, I think Cal's problem, I think Cal fell into the trap that Patino fell into. That when they went to the NBA, both of them went to the NBA, so much focused on control that they did not value taking the time to really – the most important people in your equation are your players. And so when you try to be GM, you know, when he went there, he was like GM, vice president. When you try to take on that much of the responsibility in a league where it's dependent on your relationship with your star players and getting everybody focused on that, especially if you haven't had a lot of experience in the league, I think that's where Cal and Pitino got in trouble. And I think people underestimate that. Pitino went there as like president of, you can't do all that stuff. Like, so you trying to be Jackson and you trying to be, you know, Buss. You can't do all that kind of stuff there. And so egos got in the way. Now, could he, if in a Lakers situation, he's not going to have that kind of control. And I think he plays a style. I think the key to the NBA is relationships. Nobody has better relationships than Cal. You know, it's X and O's, but the key is, do your players buy into you, that kind of stuff. And I think he can be successful. I think he just can't overplay his hand around control. And I think that's what both he and Pitino did when they made their run. I think they were focused too much on control rather than focus on letting their X and O game translate to the NBA.
Okay. What do you think about that, Larry? What do you think about Cal's prospects as an NBA coach, in particular an NBA coach with the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, D hit it, you know, a lot with his points. You know, one major difference between Cal being a coach in the NBA now versus when he was in the league is that over the last, I would say, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, he's been managing NBA talent. So, you know, the first time he really didn't have a lot of experience and was used to having that kind of control, and I think now he's more prepared to deal with the whole relationship factor. I mean, everybody know in the NBA, it's all about managing egos. And if you're not doing that at Kentucky, I don't know what the hell you are doing. Because, I mean, those kids are all pretty much NBA talented kids. So, to be honest, I think he would be way more successful at any NBA job versus what he previously did when he was coaching in the league. For being a coach for the Lakers is a whole nother, you know, neighborhood, because you know you're going to get the resources, you know you're going to get the talent. So it's just a matter of managing it. You need to find somebody who's going to do that. That's been the problem with the Lakers. They haven't had a coach strong enough to be able to manage these egos since Phil Jackson left. That's been the number one problem with the Lakers, but fans don't want to hear it. They just think that it's all about system and whatever else. But, no, it's just about managing egos. And, you know, if you can manage Kobe's ego, then you're probably going to have a decent team. And that's kind of what they need to do. And I think Cal's the one college coach who can actually accomplish that.
Yeah. I want to add, the lights are not going to be too bright for him, right? You know, sometimes you get in L.A. and the lights get bright. Cal is made for that. He might sit, he might coach next to Jack. He might coach from the bench. He might sit next to Jack and just in his little chair, on his little stool, talk to Jack while he's trying to give structure to Kobe. That's Cal. And that's L.A. He's very L.A. And that's part of, you can't shrink with the moment, but he has that L.A. feel.
Yeah, he does. He does. And I think you guys are both hitting it on the head. I think Cal will work, too, in the NBA. You know, both of you guys raised the point. He's been dealing with NBA talent for a while. And I think it's different than when he did that first go-round in the league. He didn't have the reputation and respect of guys who are already in the league already. Yes, you know, like NBA veterans now know who Calipari is. They know what he do. And actually, he's got guys who play for him who are 4 or 5 year vets in the league now. And so his rep, and a lot of these guys that he didn't coach, he recruited. So he's going to be seeing a lot of guys and playing either on his roster, playing with or coaching against a lot of guys who have relationships with him, who know what he's about, who know who he is. And so guys who are on his team can reach out to these guys and say, well, what's this guy about? You know, and for the most part, I think these guys are going to have good things to say about Cal. Managing the egos, I think he's a master at. He's probably, in my opinion, the best in college basketball managing egos because he has to. He's got kids who are all looking to go pro. He sells them on going pro, and then they have a year with him. So they don't really got to listen to him all that much. they can go out and do what they want to do, really, because they only really in class for a semester, and they only plan on being at the school for a year. So he really doesn't have control. And that control piece is where, for, in my perspective, most college coaches fail. Is they're used to being able to, later, when guys won't respond, they're used to being able to slam down with an iron fist and hammer home their point, because I control your scholarship, I control you, I control your future, I control your opportunities, because I'm your college coach. Well, in the league, you're more expendable. In college, the players are more expendable. You know, in the NBA, the coaches are a dime a dozen. We can get anybody to sit on the bench. You know, we can't get another LeBron. We can't get another Kobe. We can't. You can't. You can barely get another Joe Johnson or somebody of that ilk. So the players hold all the cards. And what Cal has been dealing with the last couple of years are teams where, in all actuality, the players hold all the cards. They, the players, have no intentions of being there long term. He doesn't even have intentions on there being long, of those players being there long term, because he's already got another crew coming in. You know, so the impetus for the players to really listen to Cal is not really there, outside of that player's own self interest. And what Cal has become a master at is getting players to understand that their interest as an individual, is tied to the interest of the unit. And that's what he's become a master at, and that's what he did with this group of guys. He got them all to put aside their own draft stock and their own projections and stop looking at Chad Ford and Draft Express and stop looking at all of that and figure out, you know what, the best thing for me is for my team to make a run. And if my team makes a run, everything is going to go my way the way I want it to go, depending upon how I play during that. But in order for us to even get that far, in order for me to get on that stage so I can shine, I got to work within the framework of this team. And that's what the league is all about. I mean, that's what it is ultimately, is getting guys to buy into roles, getting guys to do what it is that they do best within the framework of that particular unit, lineup, team, whatever, what have you. So I think Cal will do a great job. The million-dollar question, or the $10, the $9.99 question, as we have here on RSG, is Cal going to take the job? Larry, what do you think? If he's offered, do you think he takes? Do you think he takes the LA job, or do you think he stays in Kentucky?
My first inclination is that, you know, Kush college coaches got to have more than a 1099 reason to leave. So, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay, all right, D. Willows.
It's a drug, man.
Does he stay as he go?
It's a drug. And Cal, you know, he's won at Kentucky. He took this group out of nowhere to the finals. He's done, you know, he didn't win. He's done what he needed to do at Kentucky. He's going to leave with a lot of love at Kentucky. But, you know, they're going to be mad at his left. But they can't say he didn't do what he was supposed to do there. And the lure of L.A., there's not too many jobs he would leave for. But he could, you could see him in New York City, Miami. Where's about star power? Nothing's bigger than L.A. You know, you got an agent, Kobe Bryant, who wants to figure out how to win. Can you see Cal? You see Kobe kissing the trophy, and Cal's over there hugging Kobe on one side, and then Drake is on the other, and Jay-Z's in the back smiling. You know, and Jack is like got pushed out of the room. You know, it's just, but that's Cal. And so I wouldn't put it past him to go, because, as you and I know, there's something about that drug of fame. There's something about that thing. I think Cal, he manages that, but he loves it.
Yeah. I'll weigh in. What do I think? I think he stays for this reason. As much as Cal loves the limelight, he loves the bright lights, does it really get any bigger than Kentucky? Mm. I mean, when you talk about rabid fandom, does it really get any bigger than the BBN? I mean, that's SEC-style football love for SEC basketball, for a basketball coach. You're not going to get that anywhere else. You know, you're not going to get that large of a fan base. Duke has got a nice fan base. That's about it, though. I mean, when you talk about just crazy, rabid, irrational love there aren't very many places that rival Kentucky as far as the intensity and then the mass of people who root for Big Blue. There aren't places in basketball and in sports in general where you're going to have that rabid a fan base. You know what I mean? And get a pro job would be nice, but you can be a you can be a Kentucky for forever.
Mm.
I mean, and you can be a legend forever. The thing about the league is there's the money,
mm.
and the money is the lure. Because in the league, you're gonna get fired. It only ends one way in the league. You're gonna get fired.
You get hired to be fired.
Know?
Yep. You get hired
exactly.
to be fired.
Exactly. In Kentucky, you can ride off into the sunset as a god. You know what I mean? You can ride off. He's never going to get a statue outside of Staples. You're going to get a statue of Kentucky if he keeps doing what he's doing. I mean, in his 5 years there, they got 3 Elite Eights, 2 Final Fours, and a national title. And the 1 year they didn't make the tournament was last year when their best player – towards ACL halfway through the season. So, I mean, if he keeps doing this at Kentucky, that's the thing. He's not doing this at some obscure, not on the radar university. He's at Kentucky. He's at the flagship program for college basketball, one of the blue blood programs for college basketball, and he is winning at a ridiculous rate. And when you say all of that, 3 Elite Eight in 5 years, 2 Final Fours and a national championship in 5 years, that's what he's done in his 5 years there. He's done nothing but win. And when you win at Kentucky, every win is another etch in his statue at that school. So that's why I can see him going either way, but that's why I think he'd stay at Kentucky. Is because he'll never be a god in L.A., you know, because, again, no franchise in the NBA is immune from the drought. Everybody goes through the drought. The only squad that's been drought-proof, that's been recession-proof, is the Spurs. But that's because as long as Duncan's there, they're good. When Duncan goes, the drought's coming. And, you know, Jordan left the Bulls. They've been in the drought ever since. No franchise, the Celtics are in the drought right now. Hell, the Lakers are in the drought. I mean, themselves. No franchise is drought-proof, and no championship coach really survives a drought. One, they don't want to – I mean, where's Doc Rivers? He didn't say there's no rebuilding. You leave, you know what I mean, or you get fired. And so in Kentucky, you're always reloading. You're building you can truly have a dynasty because you are the brand. You know, you are the brand. And that's the thing that I think we talk about him loving the limelight. It's not going to get any bigger than that. He's the brand in Kentucky. You know, he'd be the brand. He'd never be the brand in L.A. The brand itself is the Lakers, and he'd be a piece of it. He'd be a part of it, but he'd never be the brand.
Well, it's a lot like Nick Saban at Alabama. I mean, it's the basketball version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Nick Saban is never leaving Alabama. I mean, if he do, he retired. But, I mean,
right.
He's still coaching. He's already a god down there. I mean, besides, all of the old cats that went through there, I mean, right now if you ask somebody about college football, it's about Alabama and Nick Saban. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, people in Alabama, you know, they attribute all types of stuff to Nick Saban. He ain't had nothing to do with. My car started this morning. It didn't start for 2 weeks. Thank God for saving. Must have been Nick Saban.
Roll Tide.
You know what I mean? Right, Roll Tide. You know what I'm saying? Can't get a raise at work. Oh, Nick Saban must have got that for me. Roll Tide. You know what I mean? Just blaming all kinds of – giving Nick Saban credit for all kinds of stuff that he had nothing to do with. School closed
yep.
today. Kids outside, Roll Tide. Nick Saban did it. Nick Saban got school closed. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is out there, man. That's how it is. That's how irrational it is. You know, and that's what it is for Kentucky basketball. It's that irrational. And it's never going to get like that in L.A. You know, because as long as he's winning at Kentucky, and even, you know, if he continues to have the success that he's having, even when he's not winning, you know, he's still going to have more leads. And if he's not winning in L.A., that L.A. media is going to be on him if the Lakers are not winning. You know, the Lexington media, not so much. Not so much. So we'll see what he does. It's going to be real interesting. Now, we've talked a lot about the losers. We've got to talk about the winners, the people that actually won the game, which is UConn. UConn came out, shocked Florida. I didn't think they'd beat Florida. But watching them play Florida and watching how they beat Florida, I had a strong feeling that they were going to win the next game. And before the Kentucky game, before the championship game last night, I texted both PhD and D. Wills and said, I got UConn in this one. And the reason I had UConn, aside from the fact that they have the NCAA tournament cheat code, one of my friends on Facebook said they got the Game Shark cartridge. All my video, all my 90s video game heads know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Game Shark cartridge. They had the cheat code, they had the tournament cheat code in Shabazz Napier, which is a hot guard, a hot point guard, gets you very far every time. The team with that hot guard almost always is going to advance and have a real shot at winning it all if they have some decent pieces around that guard. And, you know, Napier, he did his thing. He balled. But the other thing on top of that that really got me in that Florida game is the intensity and the look in the eyes of the guys at UConn. There was a steely, not going to back down, not taking nothing off nobody kind of mentality. And I don't care what's on the front of your jersey, you're going to have to beat us. They didn't back down from moments, from big moments. They didn't back away. And that was a reflection on Kevin Ollie. And the moment that summed it all up for me and really solidified who that UConn team was at halftime during the national championship game. Kevin Ollie was interviewed by the sideline reporter, and she was asking him a series of questions. And one of those questions, she made the comment, you know, Kentucky's a great second-half team. What are you guys going to do to switch things up to maintain your lead? And Kevin Ollie responded with, are we a great second-half team too? You know, those were the first words that first he gave her a look like, really? I don't care about no Kentucky.
That's right.
And then he hit him with that.
Exactly.
Like, we're a great second-half team, too. And that's the mentality his players have. You know, that whole no disrespect to them, but we on scholarship, too. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't come here to talk about the other team. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do and how we're going to win this game. And, you know, that level of confidence, that level of scrappiness, that level of moxie is what I saw in that team and what that team exemplified. And, you know, you always know a good coach is when that team takes on that coach's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a lot of Kevin Ollie's personality in that UConn team. You know, they felt slighted. They felt discarded. They felt as if people didn't believe in them. And they had a right to feel that way because I don't know anybody who actually had UConn in the title game. Nobody picked them. Nobody thought that they could get that far outside of their locker room. And nothing bonds a group of guys together more than having success and having nobody else outside of your camp, your brotherhood, your team believe that you could do that. And that's what bonded those guys together, and you saw them play with that bond. It was fun to watch them play. It was very fun to watch them play. What are your impressions of the UConn team, Larry?
Well, I mean, I got two things. I mean, first is kind of a general thing. The old adage is still holding true. You got, you know, experienced guards leading you to a championship. So if you want to, like, cook up a championship formula, you're going to need experienced guards to get you to the promised land, all right? It's been holding true since forever. I think Carmelo was the only one to kind of buck that trend. But I still think you're going to need experienced guards to get to the finals. The second thing is, I don't know about you guys, but when I watched UConn, it was a lot. It reminded me a lot of those old Big East teams.
That's
the same teams who pretty much said, you know, forget everybody. It's us against the world. And for some, I mean, I don't know if it was made up or not, but they had this chip on their shoulder. I mean, they did. And they were playing almost like those Big East teams from back in the day where they just, they going to fight and claw and scratch their way to the top of the mountain. And they did it. And, I mean, it's a reflection of, you know, what Kevin Ollie's been doing and preaching to them, that nobody think y'all any good. You look at your seed. Y'all ain't going nowhere. You're going to have to show them different. And every interview, post-game, pre-game, pretty much confirmed all of that. They had this mentality, us against the world, and it worked for them. So combine that with the senior or the, you know, experienced guard play, and you got a championship. So, I mean, I still don't believe it because of the way their bigs, the way UConn bigs were playing, I didn't think they had a shot. I was like, man, Kentucky's going to kill us in the second half. Because, I mean, look, at the 17-minute mark, you know, basically their bigs were – UConn's bigs were getting the ball in the post. And they were getting their shots blocked up on almost every attempt. And I'm like, oh, man, this game over. But, you know, once that dog came out, that dog came out. And UConn just went on and quenched whatever little run Kentucky had, and the game was over.
Yeah, and that's the way it went. I mean, UConn, whatever Kevin Ollie obviously sold them a narrative, and the narrative probably went something like this. Nobody believes you. Nobody wants you here. Nobody wants you around. Nobody has your back but us. Nobody wants us here. They banned us. You know, they kicked us out. You know, they don't believe in us. You know, they say we don't graduate our players, this, that, and the other, you know. And he sold their players that narrative, and they bought in hook, line, and sinker. They believed it. And they took that, and it fueled them. It fueled them in that game. Now, again, this is a great program. When you really look at the run that they've had since 1999, this UConn team the UConn program is one of the best programs in the country, and you have to put it in the conversation. D. Wills, where would you rank it as a program right now? With this championship in tow, you know, that's 4 in 15 years. Where would you put this squad or put this program when you talk about the blue blood programs in college basketball?
You got to put them at the top because nobody has more 4. Like, I think the closest is, what, 2? Right? And
yeah.
So, and they've done it different ways. And you got to argue before that, they had great teams that were, like, you know, number one seeds. They're great teams that were, you know, challenged for Final Four. So the run, you know, since Calhoun was there, I think part of the program with answered yesterday, because this is a big thing. We talk about this on RSG. This is the thing that when you talk about kind of the brand and being great, the thing was it about Calhoun, right? So, you know, UConn was tied to Calhoun. I think what yesterday did was really communicate the sustaining power and that Kevin Ollie is going to take that to the next level. And, you know, so I think you got to put them right at the top. The crazy thing about it is this last 2 came out of, you know, somehow out of nowhere, you know, to do it. So I think that's why people feel weird about it. But the bottom line is they've won 4 of that time, and I think the closest the next was 2. So
yeah,
you got to give it to them.
Yeah, so I'm going to issue a challenge to the Renegades. Next week, I want everybody to come in here prepared to give me your top 10 programs of the last 20 years, going back to 94, bringing it forward to now, top 10 programs in the last 20 years in college basketball. That's the challenge. You're going to have to get PhD, get the memo out to PhD, throw up the bat signal. We've got to do an RSG list, and we're going to have to unveil this over the next couple of weeks. Because I think there's a conversation. I think we just need to reflect on this for a minute, because I think what people think the top 10 should be, I don't think it really be that when you really start to break down what programs have done over
That's
this
right.
stretch. Because UConn flew under the radar until now,
yeah.
in my opinion, as far as being one of the most decorated programs of the last 20 years. if somebody were to ask that question off the top of people's head, I think UConn would probably be number 4 or 5 as far as just being generally mentioned, not where people would rank them, but when you talked about give me your top 5 programs, you know, I think UConn may have been mentioned. I think they probably would have been left off of somebody's top 5 list.
No.
But I think it would have been a definite miss for people, a definite miss if people didn't recognize that. So, you know, I think that's something that we got to get those lists popping. So the challenge has been issued for sure. We got to get the list going. You know what I'm saying? So we can dig into this topic. We can dig into this idea about these top programs because, you know, UConn, Florida. You know, there are some programs that are not that are under the radar because when you think top basketball programs, you're thinking Duke, you know, you're thinking North Carolina, you're thinking Kansas, you're thinking Syracuse. Some of these schools come to mind, Michigan State. I would beg that there are probably going to be some surprises in that top 10 when you really start to look at how people have performed, tournament performances, and you start to take into account all those different things. I think you'll come out with a very different picture of who's at the top of the game right now from a programmatic perspective. So that's going to be our exercise next week. Until then, though, we're going to hit you off with this DJ Slick mix that we got going on over here. DJ Slick is the newest member of the RSG fam. He's our Jam Master J. He keeps it popping. He keeps it jamming with great mixes when we do our RSG live. He is the man that provides the soundscape for the Renegades to plunder. You know what I mean? We bring the ruckus over DJ Slick Sixes, and we're gonna hit you off with it like this.
Don't die in Africa. You see, The Lakers beat the Super Sonics. Felt on the big fat fanny. Pulled out the jammy and killed the Fumani. And my Jimmy runs deep, so deep, so deep, put her butt to sleep. Woke her up around one, she didn't hesitate to call Ice Cube the Top Gun. Drove to the pad and I'm coasting. Took another sip of the potion, hit the three-wheel motion. I was glad everything had worked out. Dropped the bird off and then chirped out. Today was like one of those fine dreams. Didn't even see a berry flashing those high beams. No helicopter looking for the murder. 2 in the morning, got the fat burger. Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it read Ice Cube's a pinch. Drunk as hell, but no throwing up. Halfway home, and my page is still blowing up. Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
Welcome back to the Real Sports Guys, the Real Guys Talk Real Sports. That was a hot mix from Renegade DJ Slick. You're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. We in the house. Oh, man, great show going on tonight. You're in the midst of it, and we are about to keep it rolling. We just got done talking about the NCAA tournament, sharing our thoughts on the championship, the two teams that played in the NCAA title game, University of Kentucky and the UConn Huskies. We had our own little tournament challenge here with the real sports guys, RSG. We set up a tournament challenge, and, you know, we had some prizes lined up, hooked up by our man, LR. He had some great prizes lined up for the winners of the tournament. But in order to get your hands on these prizes, you had to outperform the Renegades. Now, we fancy ourselves experts as far as sports goes. So we're a tough crew to beat. Now, I held down my end of the bargain in this particular situation. My man PhD and my man D Wills, they tried. they gave it a good old college try, but they didn't quite get it done the way I got it done. So I'm going to bring in my man LR. LR, you can run down the results of the tournament. You know, I took second, you know, and I'm of the Ricky Bobby. I like to live by the philosophy of Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights. If you ain't first, you're last. So I was the first last place finisher, but there was a winner. So Larry, who is the winner of this year's challenge, and can you tell them what they've won?
Yes, sir. Well, first off, let me just say that once again, the tournament challenge had a bunch of fantastic players. I wish that they can come back next year and play again. First, I just want to announce the third place winner, because we do have a third place winner. This person will be receiving an iLive iPod Sound Dot, courtesy of Resistance Digital. And that will go to a Mr. Harper Donahue. Good job, Harper. Harper scored 287 points in the tournament, which actually was in the neighborhood of just about everybody in the top 10. So that just shows how competitive this tournament was. And as stated, the game changer comes in second place, so we don't have a second place winner. Game changer, way to hold it down, buddy. Hold it down.
You know how I get down. You know how I get down. You know how I get down.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Y'all get that second place prize.
No, I should give it to you.
We even.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I want to announce the first place winner. Now, let me just tell you about this guy, okay? the average in this, the top 10 players besides the winner of this tournament was around 175 points. This guy scored 326 points in this tournament challenge. Blew everybody away.
Yeah, he did.
So I think I might need to hand in my tournament sheet and not even put one in anymore because this guy is the goods. Not only is he the goods, but he lives in Michigan.
Mm.
Give it up for Mr. Joe Darling. Good job, Joe.
We love it, Larry. We love that you create the energy for this. And we went to a new platform that we're going to build on and even make that work for us. There's so many bells and whistles we haven't even released with that. So it was good for you to kind of help us get that going.
Oh, yeah. And let me interrupt one quick second. The first place prize for Mr. Joe Darling is a 32-inch RCA HD TV. Courtesy of Resistance Digital Solutions.
Love it, man.
Live and in color.
Jamaica's good.
Yeah, Jamaica's good.
Yeah.
Jamaica's very good.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a nice prize right there. Got to hit it with one of these.
Maybach music.
So shout out to the winner. It was a great challenge. The challenge, I mean, the tournament this year just threw. There's so many twists and turns to it. From the Kentucky Wildcats going from an 8 seed all the way to the title. UConn is a 7 seed going all the way to the title. All the number 1 seeds getting knocked out. I mean, just an unbelievable bracket this year. A lot of fun. Kept you engaged the whole time. A lot of great games. So shout out to the winner, Joe Darling. Congratulations. You know, I hope you enjoy the TV, Harper. I hope you enjoy the iPod. If you don't want to send it my way, I'll keep it for you. You know, we can keep it at my house. It could be both of ours. We can just keep it at my house. But another great tourney challenge in the books. Again, I stole one of those spots. So, you know, that's the goal is you got to keep us, you know, if we hold down all 3 spots, then y'all don't get nothing. So, you know, the more people that enter, the more people that engage, the more chances the listeners out there have of actually winning the challenge and walking away with the prizes. Otherwise, the Renegades will take all the prizes. And you know, that's good for us, but it's not good for y'all. We're trying to get this stuff
right.
away.
Right.
You know, we're trying to give things away. So you got to make sure you get in next year when we have another challenge. We'll be back again with it. Hats off to LR with the hot gifts for sponsoring the challenge, getting folks hooked up. In the end, we all know it goes down like this.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game. That's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. So, you know, until next year, I look forward to getting prepped, getting ready. You know, I made my return to the top, to the winner's circle. I like life in the winner's circle. You know, so I plan on coming back next year. Hopefully some of my RSG brethren will join me in the winner's circle next year. But I'll be back for sure. So bring your A game. Next year I'm taking the first spot. So, you know, all you guys can shoot for second. now it's time to pay some bills. Yeah, for sure. We're going to pay a few bills real quick, so let's go ahead and get into it.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
LR, you know how it goes.
We need more dogs.
Yes, sir. So my dog of the week goes out to the head basketball coach at UConn. And no, not that one. The women's head coach, Gino Auriemma. In a recent interview, he was responding to the budding rivalry between UConn and Notre Dame women basketball program, and he stated, "We beat each other's brains in, and we're trying to win championships, and we're supposed to go out and have a bottle of wine afterwards? That it ain't happening." Gino Auriemma, thank you for telling people that women's basketball is serious business.
For sure, for sure. Hats off to Gino Auriemma. You know, you really have to look at what this guy has done. He's 9-0 in championship games. 9-0. You feel me? Even Phil Jackson has lost in a title game from time to time. 9-0 is pretty ridiculous. So hats off to Gino Auriemma. Yeah, yeah. So he just won his ninth championship, and he hasn't lost any. That's pretty sick. D. Wills.
We need more dogs.
Well, I'm going to keep it in the Husky family. I'm going with the head coach of the men's team, Kevin Ollie. I mean, think about the journey. He's a journeyman in the NBA, has a reputation of hardworking. He sat and learned under some great coaches, came into a UConn program that was that couldn't go to the tournament, had star players and folks figuring out whether or not they want to leave, got blown out by 30 at Louisville about a month ago, and then got this team right and then got them going in the UConn way. I don't know if enough credit is given to how he's really put his imprint on this team and the attitude. I think Game Chip did a really good job. One of the few people I've heard really talk about what he's done to spark this team. So Kevin Ollie is my dog of the week.
All right. And last but not least, I shall go.
We need more dogs.
My dog of the week, in the same vein as you guys, I'm going with a UConn Husky. Mine is Shabazz Napier. D. Wills, you talked about Kevin Ollie. We talked about earlier how Kevin Ollie imprinted his personality on that team. But in the end, you can try and imprint your personality onto a team as much as you can, but you've got to have at least one guy, one kid on your team who embodies that on the court and who represents that shift in personality and can be you on the court. And that kid for Kevin Ollie was Shabazz Napier, the cheat code, as I call him. He picked his spot amazingly in the championship game. When his team needed a basket, he was shooting. When his team needed a play, he was making it. He stepped up, he showed out, and he finished his career the way it started, with a national championship his freshman year, got a national championship his senior year, put the team on his back, and carried them all the way through the tournament as a 7 seed, knocking off the overall number one, knocking off a heavy favorite, the Vegas favorite in Michigan State. Just a great performance by Napier, one of the performances that will go down in history as a very memorable performance. So hats off to him and the UConn Huskies. So that does it for this edition of the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Every week, Resistance Digital sponsors the Dog of the Week. Make sure you hit up LR and get all of your tech needs met at a very reasonable price. Catch him at Larry@ResistanceDigital.com. Hit him up with your needs. He'll hit you back. He'll get you set up. It's that simple. All right? So make sure you check him out. Again, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, RealSportsGuys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. Heading into the home stretch, we're going to talk NBA playoffs. Now, the playoffs are coming right around the corner. The season is going to be ending very quickly. I want to bounce some – I got some questions for the guys who are in the house. D. Wills, who are some surprises as we get into this NBA playoff race? The eighth seed in both conferences is still up for grabs. In the West, there's still some possible shifting that could happen from 7 to 8, you know, as far as who's in, who's out. In the East, is pretty much that 8 seed is open. Who are the surprise teams who could make some noise that are off of people's radar in this particular playoff season, these Wolves?
Well, you know, everybody's been kind of talking about, you know, the top teams and, you know, what, you know, they're going to do, particularly in the East. You know, it's all about Miami and Indiana. And some of the teams are interesting. And if you watch the way they play in these first couple of rounds, and not just even in the eighth spot, but I think when you think about teams like Charlotte and Washington, you know, they're securely in the playoffs. But the way those teams have talent, those teams are young, they could cause some problems early on with folks because they don't know any better. New York is trying to come down the stretch. It's funny, you know, Phil announces them and folks start to, you know, try to put some things together down the stretch there. You know, they're 5-5 over the last 10 games. But I think in the East, you know, I think it's pretty much going to be dominated, you know, by those top teams. But I think as you look on to the West, that's where things get a little interesting. When you think about teams like Memphis, teams like Phoenix, Minnesota, you know, they're battling. Minnesota's a little farther out. But that Memphis, Phoenix, Dallas, you know, those are kind of teams, especially in Memphis, they can – They're about one game out of the playoff run, but if they can overtake Phoenix, that's bad news for someone like San Antonio. Think about that. You don't want to see Big Meat Hook. You know, he only gonna go left, but nobody is gonna stop him. He's gonna go where he want to go. And so I think some of those teams, Golden State, I've watched them. You know, they're 7-3 in their last 10, but they're not making. I don't feel like they're making that buzz like they were. But I think if those teams that are kind of outside looking in, Memphis, Minnesota's a little too far out for them to really close the gap. You know, if they were, then I think that, you know, anytime you get somebody like Love, he's a problem child. And then Phoenix has just been doing it with a whole bunch of people. They're like 8-2 over the last 10 games. So, you know, these are teams that got some players back in can do some damage in the first round. And you don't know how San Antonio, sometimes father time, you know, we always hear that from Charles, you know, father time's undefeated. And you don't know when he's going to show up. You know, he might show up in a tunnel in a black suit, in a hoodie. And you might, oh, not today. And I think that's part of San Antonio's issue. You never know when father time is going to show up. And these teams are hungry.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, you mentioned some teams that, again, that's from six to eight right now is probably nine. The West is a good nine teams deep with Minnesota kind of lurking. Minnesota's, you know, they'll probably be out of it when you really look at where they stand. They're six games back of Memphis. But you got Memphis, which gave anybody that they played last year all that the other team wanted and could handle. You got Phoenix, who is just a young running gun squad. You have the Dallas Mavericks, who have, again, Rick Carlisle doesn't get enough credit as a coach. He figures out how to get the best out of guys who nobody else wants. You know, he took Tyson Chandler and made him a viable player again. He's done the same thing with Sean Marion, and now Monte Ellis, Devin Harris. He's taking these guys, Samuel Dellenberg, who are retreads, figured out how to use them in a good role, and Dallas is winning 60%. They got a 600 winning percentage. That's good. So for a team that, you know, outside of me, I picked them to make the playoffs. I did. You know, Justin laughed at me, but I picked them to make the playoffs. And then you got Golden State, which is a team that I wouldn't want to play if I was a 3-seed because they could be a lot higher. If health permitted, I think they're probably a top 3 or 4 team in the West. Their record doesn't say that. You are what your record says, but I still wouldn't want to see them in the playoffs. The West is always deep. You know, the 8 seed in the West is a 3 seed in the East. That's how deep the West is. You know, and the ninth seed in the West, the team that doesn't make the playoffs would have been the three seed in the East. It's pretty ridiculous. When you think about the East, what are some teams that – what are some good matchups that you're looking forward to, LR?
Well, I guess before I start, I'm going to say it's kind of fitting that we're talking about the playoffs, and one of the teams that is going to probably shock a lot of people in the wrong way is Indiana. So we're talking about playoffs here. I think Indiana's going to be in trouble. I don't really care who they play. Right now, they are the most dysfunctional team I've seen in a long time. So,
and it happened so fast. Yeah, how many goals fall off?
Well, I think part of the issue is that there's a lot of volatility on that team, like personality-wise.
Yeah.
So it goes back to that whole, you know, can the coach manage those personalities? And, you know, they try to use Evan Turner and Andrew Bynum as a scapegoat, but when the wheels fall off that fast, it can't be a trade or anything like that. I mean, I really think these guys almost hate each other. I mean, they really don't like each other. I mean, and that much is obvious. And I don't know if you can fix this problem before the playoffs. Indiana's going to get pushed to 7 games in the first round, regardless who they play. It's still kind of up in the air who they're going to play, you know, whether it's the Bobcats or Washington, whatever. I'm not sure where the bottom is at right now. But, I mean, those bottom teams in the East, like D. Wills was saying, I think they're going to make some noise because of the dysfunctionality of the top seed and the second seed. I feel more confident about the 3 and 4 seeds coming out of the East than I do about Miami or Indiana. And that's crazy talk. But if you just look at the bodies of work, and I would say the past 3 to 4 weeks, I mean, those teams got some holes, man, and they might get exploited. So if they end up getting into a slugfest in the first round, even if they win, if they get into a slugfest in the first round, they could be just ripe for an upset in the second round. So I'm saying it right now, the 1 and the 2 seed are not coming out of the East. Write it down.
Wow, the 1 and the 2.
And two. Write it down.
That is a bold prediction. Now, I do want to get into the Indiana Pacers. This squad, man. I'm telling you, this squad has fallen apart. And they're falling apart at the seams. And for me, it always stems to where's the crazy at? There's all when a team falls apart like this and they're talking chemistry, there's got to be some crazy in the locker room. And when I'm looking at this squad and I'm looking for crazy, the minute I walk past Lance Stephenson, my crazy alarm goes off.
Hold on. They got two crazies, though, because it's Stephenson and it's Hibbert. They both crazy.
Yeah. But see, Hibbert's a different kind of crazy. Hibbert's odd. Stephenson is volatile.
Well, okay.
And so when you walk past, so when Stephenson is your second, third best player, that's not good. When he's your fourth, fifth best guy like he was last year, then you can kind of keep him at bay. You can keep the crazy. The crazy doesn't infect everybody else. When he's your second or third best player, which he has been for the majority of the season, that becomes a problem because then that guy is now making demands, and he's thinking he's a team leader. It's the whole Ricky Incognito effect. You got to be careful who you put on the leadership council. You know, and when he's your second, third best performer, he's coming in the locker room thinking he can regulate stuff now. You know, he's coming in the locker room thinking he can get in guys' face. I'm not the fifth, sixth man no more. You know, I'm at the top of the food chain. Y'all got to listen to me, except you're crazy. We don't want to listen to you because you're crazy. Like, you know, it's one of those situations where he probably goes off in the locker room at the end of practice, and everybody's just kind of like, oh, here you go again. You know what I mean? Everybody's kind of looking, you know, taking their stuff up, putting their stuff up real fast, trying to close their locker real quick and get out of there, you know, before he gets too excited, you know. But I think overall, you know, this team may have just killed itself. You know what I mean? It may have just shot itself in the foot, you know, and ruined the most vulnerable team. Because Miami's not going to be this vulnerable next season. You know, this was the year when this team got together that you could see that they were going to be the most vulnerable. When the ancillary parts start to get a little old, D-Wade, LeBron, and Bosh start to get a little old, and they start to get towards the end of that contract. If these guys opt out, and who knows what they'll do, if they take less money and let Pat Riley rework this roster again, then, you know, they may go on another run, you know, which is if I'm those three, that's what I try and do. You know, I may take, you know, if I'm D-Wade, I got money, and I'm going to get money. I take a pay cut, you know, let them bring in somebody else, you know, let them bring in another piece, let them bring in a couple other pieces. But they're going to get a chance to reshape this roster now that some of these contracts are coming up and reload for another run. This was the year where they were going to be weakest. And Indiana, at the beginning of the season, looked like they were poised to step in. But now they're not. You know, LeBron came out today and talked about how if this were people aren't digging into Indiana the way they would Miami, and it's true. We need to take a look at what's going on with this Indiana team and truly break it down. And somebody's got to catch heat for it, whether it's Larry Bird, whether it's Frank Vogel, whether it's Paul George. You know, you want to be a superstar. There's some responsibility that comes with that. And he can't play the way he's played in the last 20, 30 games of the season. So that, my friends, is the last word brought to you by XL Academics. That'll do it for this edition of The Real Sports Guys. We'll check you next week, same time, same place. As always, we're going to keep it hot. We're going to keep it rolling. You listen to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions, brought to you by Fredericton County, brought to you by XL Academics, brought to you by On the Rocks in Rockford, Illinois. Till next week, same time, same place. Peace. Um.